Acts 17 here, okay? Verses 10, 11, and 12. Acts chapter 17. All right, we'll read them responsively. Please join me on verse number 11. The Bible says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." We'll pray and then have a song, get into the Bible message today. Dear Spirit of God, please come and honor the preaching of Your Word today. Lord, You know the subject of the message is the preaching of Your Word. And I pray that You'll give us an attentive heart, a concentrating mind, and Lord, an open spirit. May we have the power of the Holy Ghost upon us. May we truly be of noble character today to hear Your Word preached. And I'll thank You for it. Bless the song, the message of the song. May it prepare our heart for the message from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. We'll have the song. Talking about the war on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock and how God has given us the best weapon a Christian could ever have to fight the good fight of faith. Thank you for that good song this morning. All right, where is Brother Griffin? Brother Terry, is he out there in the hallway? If he could poke his head in just for a minute, I want to see where we are. Steve, was up. Okay, if they don't know this, what needs to happen? They got to replace that glass tube? Great, okay, super, and then we'll be set to go. All right. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to take this coat off this morning if you don't mind. All right. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hold your place there in Acts 17 for just a moment. Look over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to read, we're going to look at this verse and I'm going to show you how not to do what this verse tells us not to do. Okay? Or, I said it right? How to do what this verse tells us not to do. There we go. Look at verse number 20 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. By the way, this was written to the church located in the city that Paul just came from where we read in Acts 17 this morning. The Thessalonian church, that's just where Paul was before he wrote. We read the verses there in Acts 17. Look at verse number 20. Despise not prophesyings. Despise not prophesyings. Now, that's just a simple command, three-word command, given to the church in Thessalonica. Despise not prophesyings. The word prophesyings here is not talking about foretelling future events. The word prophesyings is just referring to preaching. To preaching, the preaching of the Word of God. Paul said, don't despise it. Don't think little of it. That's what the word despise means. Set it naught. Think little of it. Put aside. Don't be guilty of that. Now, folks, look. God didn't give us this just because He had nothing else to do. There must be a reason why He needed to say that. There must be that people, if we're not careful, we get to the place where we think little of preaching. So that's why He said, don't do that. Don't do that. Now, back to Acts chapter 17, I want to show you how to avoid thinking little of preaching. How to do what He told us not to do in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 there. And look what it says in verse number 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, we just read what He wrote to the Thessalonians. Don't think little of preaching. The people in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. I'm going to speak to you on this subject, nobility towards preaching. Nobility towards preaching. Dear Father, bless us today. Thank You, God, for this room. It's comfortable. Thank You. I feel like the air is coming back on now. Thank You for the comfort of cool air. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us for these next several minutes to concentrate and think together on Your Word. May Your Spirit have access to our minds, hearts, and even our wills today. That's my prayer. Help me in the purpose of this message, I pray, dear Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. And amen. Paul and Silas had just left the work in Thessalonica, like I mentioned. Many were saved and many were baptized, and they started the church. Then, of course, the persecution began, and the believers there in Thessalonica realized it would be best if Paul and Silas would move on for safety's sake. Yes, sometimes God wants them to stay and preach in the face of persecution. Other times God said, get out of here. I want to save you for future work. So Paul and Silas went about 45 miles west of Thessalonica to a town called Berea. And as soon as they got to Berea, they went into the synagogue and they began preaching the message of Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing we are told about their ministry in Berea is given to us in comparison form. He compares his ministry in Berea with that in Thessalonica. The Bible does, okay? It's comparison form. You see, the people in the synagogue at Berea were compared to the people in the synagogue at Thessalonica. Paul had preached the same message in both places. He didn't change his message. The Bible says the people of Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. More noble in character, more noble in conduct, more noble in spirit, more noble in attitude, more noble in the sense of that rather than nobility of birth. These were not blue bloods here. We're not talking about nobility by birth. We're talking about nobility of character, nobility of conduct, nobility of attitude, nobility of spirit. Here's why they were more noble. The Bible gives us two reasons in verse number 11. They were more noble, number one, because they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were more noble, number two, because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things that they heard preached at the synagogue were true. Now, friend, that's it. Those are the only two reasons given as to why these people in Berea were more noble than the folks in Thessalonica. You see, Paul preached the gospel to them. He preached the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. He explained the way of salvation. He explained that Jesus was Messiah, that Jesus was God's sacrificial lamb, that Jesus was the only way to heaven. And the Bible says those people in Berea received His preaching nobly. They did it with nobility. They received it with all readiness of mind. Paul was preaching something they had never heard before. This was strange material to their ears, but they were willing to receive it. And then they took the Scriptures. And you know what Scriptures they had? They had the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. They took the Old Testament Scriptures and they began to search through the Old Testament Scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas told them was true. Now watch me. Do you know what happens if you take the Old Testament and search it to see if the message of Jesus in the New Testament is true? Do you know what happens? You will find that the Old Testament and the New Testament agree. They agree. They're not two separate parts of the Bible. Their own agenda. They agree. It's all one great big gospel. All one great big book that God gave to us. Now, that's how they received it. They were noble towards the preaching. Look at the result of this in verse number 12. Look what the Bible says. Therefore, many of them believed. So there was results. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Now, there's something in that verse. If you've been here on Sunday mornings going through this, there's something in that verse that we haven't seen a lot of in Paul's other stops on his journey. You see the little words there? And of men, not a few. You see, most of the places Paul went, the Bible tells us that there were many chief women who believed. But here in Berea, the Bible says there was a whole bunch of men that got saved. A bunch of men. Brother, I want to tell you something. It is something, for me, to me anyway, when the Word of God works in the heart of a man. You know, if you can get a man saved, more than likely you can get his wife saved and his children saved. You can get his whole house saved. That's the honest truth. And here the Bible tells us that lots of men got saved. Now listen very carefully. When the Word of God is received with a willing mind and a ready mind. When the Word of God is accepted as truth, it will always do a work in your heart. Always do a work in your heart. Now again, remember, the message was the same. And the preacher was the same. Paul didn't change his spiritual character from Thessalonica to Berea. Same message, same messenger, different results. Completely different. Because the people were ready in Berea. They had a noble character. They were of a nobility that the people of Thessalonica were not of. You've heard me say before. Sometimes I preach out in these conferences and these youth camps. And sometimes, and often, you know, I find a message that works with young people. It works with young people in Texas, like it works with young people in West Virginia, like it works with young people in Oklahoma City, like it works with young people wherever. The message works with all ages, all places. And sometimes I'll preach the same message. I'm the same person. I don't change my person. I don't change my character from Illinois to Oklahoma to Texas to West Virginia. I prepare the same way. It's amazing to me to see the different results. Some places, man, there's tons of results. In some places, there's a very limited amount of results. And you say, Pastor, do you think it's dynamic speaking? You think it's verbal advantage? You think it's communication skills? No, I don't think it's any of that. I think a lot of it has to do with my preparation, and a lot of it has to do with the people's character toward the preaching of the Word of God. Are they of noble character? If they are of noble character, they will receive it with a ready mind, and then they'll search the Scriptures to see if those things are so. And brother, when you take the Word of God with noble character, a ready mind, it will do a work in your heart. Listen, folks, we have a promise in Isaiah chapter 55 that wherever this Word goes forth, it will not return void. The preaching of the Word of God is not time spent in vain. It's not time spent foolishly. It will accomplish its purpose. Now, that's a promise. You say, well, how come I sit in services and I don't see any results from the Word of God being preached? Well, sometimes they're not always visible to the naked eye. Sometimes there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that you and I don't see. But I'm going to tell you one reason why some crowds get it and some crowds don't. Why some families get it, why some families don't. Why some kids get it, why some kids don't. It all depends on how you receive it. Do you receive it with noble character? Do you receive the Word of God? There are hindrances to profiting from Bible preaching. And then there are ways to make it so that it will profit you. Let me give you two ways that you can receive the Word of God and have it profit you as you hear it preached. Number one, plan ahead to give a fair hearing to the message. Plan ahead of time to give a fair hearing to the message. Look at verse number 11 here. Look at verse number 11. Do you see the words, they receive the Word with all readiness of mind? You see that? With all readiness of mind. You know what the word readiness means? It means predisposed. In other words, they were predisposed to give a fair hearing. Their minds were already made up. They had decided ahead of time to give a fair hearing to what was preached. I'm going to go to the synagogue. I'm going to hear Paul preach. I'm going to hear Silas preach. And I'm going to receive it. I'm not going to reject it. I'm going to listen. I'm going to give a fair hearing to it. I'm going to go expecting something. I'm going to go wanting something. I'm not going just to fill an obligation. I'm going to get something from the message from God's Word. That's noble character. Believe it or not, a lot of people do not approach Bible preaching in that manner. I sad to say, and to shoot straight with you, there are people here this morning who are fulfilling an obligation. You have an obligation. You feel like you're under obligation to go to church on Sunday morning, spend your hour or 2 hours and a half, and that's it. And you know what? If you go looking to fulfill an obligation, guess what you'll get? A fulfilled obligation. Pat yourself on the back when you get in the car. You got what you came for. Rubbed a little salve on your conscience. Made you feel better because you went to the church on Sunday morning and sat and listened to the preacher. Is that all you come for? Friend, the Bible, God wants far more for us than just to fill an obligation. He has a message. There's a truth. There's a principle that could change your life, change your marriage, change your family. It might settle your eternal destiny. And God wants to get that to us this morning. How are you going to get it? You've got to have a predisposed mind. You got to have a ready mind. You got to make your mind up in advance to give the message a fair hearing. Now listen very carefully. I'm not encouraging anybody to have a predisposed mind to give a fair hearing to false teachers. When it comes to false teachers, you have a closed mind. I don't argue with Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't argue with Mormons. To me, it's a waste of time. That's just me. Now, I know some people witness to them and everything and try to give them the scriptures. And I've tried and I just, you know what? I wouldn't go sit in a service where a JW was preaching or a Mormon was preaching or other places. I don't think you need to give the Catholic Church a fair hearing because they don't believe the Word of God. They don't believe what it says. They believe that Mary is equal to Jesus Christ and is involved in the process of salvation with Jesus. I don't think you ought to give that a fair hearing because that's heresy. They preach that you got to go to the priest and confess your sins to a man who's as much a sinner as you are. Now, I wouldn't listen to that. I wouldn't give that a fair hearing. I'd close my ears to that. I wouldn't listen to that at all. I would get that part of it settled. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you going to a place that has the reputation where the reputation is, the, you know, over there at that church, they preach from the Bible. You know, you need to get that settled. I'm going to put my family in a church where they preach from the Word of God. I'll put my family in a church where the Sunday school lesson is from the Word of God. Get it settled, see. Go to a place that has a reputation for preaching the Word of God. And then once that's settled, prepare for the preaching by deciding ahead of time that you're going to get something. Decide that ahead of time. You don't decide ahead of time, I'm not going to listen and I don't care and I'm not going to receive what's said. You don't plan for rejection, you plan for reception. You don't anticipate rejection, you anticipate reception. I'm going to church, I'm going to hear the Word of God, I'm ready for it. Come on, pastor, come on, guest speaker, come on, guest evangelist, come on, guest missionary. I'm here because I want to get something from the Word of God. My mind is made up, I'm predisposed to it, I got an attitude that I want it, give it to me. Give me something from God's Word because I'm ready. I'll tell you something, you come with that kind of mind, you'll go home with something. You'll go home with something. It may be something that the preacher didn't even mention in his message, but the Spirit of God will give you something. Yes, He will. That's the kind, you know what this word, this ready mind, they receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind. When you break that thing all the way down, what it means is go forward. a forward mind. Come on, man. I'm here to get something. I'm here for something to help me. I'm here to learn something. I'm here to be challenged. I'm here to be confronted if necessary. I'm here to be motivated. I'm here to be inspired. I'm not here to warm a seat in the pew. I'm not here for that purpose. I'm not here to pat myself on the back and fulfill an obligation. I came to get something from the Bible, from the Word of God. It's amazing to me over the years. I mean, absolutely amazing to me over the years. Pastor, I'm in financial trouble. I'm spiraling downward and getting in more difficulty and more difficulty and more difficulty. Brother, let me ask you a question. Are you honoring the Lord by giving your tithes and offerings like Proverbs chapter 3, 9 and 10 talks about? No, I'm not honoring the Lord. Well, the Bible says that you put Him first to seek His kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, I can't do that. I've tried that and it didn't work. I can't do it. Now, you know what that's called? That's predisposed for rejection. Pastor, I don't have any friends. I don't have any friends. I can't make any friends. I don't have any friends. Well, let me see here. The Bible says, let me start here. Proverbs 18, 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, if you don't have friends, there's something you're not doing. You're not showing yourself friendly enough. No, that's not it. There has to be something else. Okay. Something else. So there has to be more than what the Bible says. You see, friend, that's not predisposed to receive God's Word. That's predisposed to reject it. That's why I dislike most counseling sessions. Most counseling sessions, people come predisposed to reject what you're going to say anyway. I've tried that. It doesn't work. It's not a counseling session. It's an argument or a debate. I tell you, the older I get, the less of that I want to do. The less of that I'm going. I'm not going to debate. I know what I believe. I know why I believe it. I don't know what the church stands for. I'm not going to get into big debates. People don't want to be helped. They want to just make their case. That's not a predisposed mind to receive the Word of God. Do you see the difference? Predisposed to reject it or predisposed to receive it? Predisposed to take it in. Pastor, I've got problems in my spiritual life. I have some issues I'm dealing with. I don't have strength. I don't have any power. I need some help. Okay, let me ask you, brother. Are you having your devotions? Are you reading the Word of God? The Bible says it's meat, it's bread, it's milk, it's honey. Are you getting in the Word of God? Are you getting cleansed by the water of the Word of God? Do you have light from the Word of God? Are you spending time reading your Bible in devotions? Oh, no. I don't have time for that. I tried that in the past and I quit. That doesn't work anyway. Predisposed for failure. Predisposed for failure. Friend, you can't have that attitude and profit from the Word of God. You've got to have a mind that's predisposed to reception. Whatever that book says is what I'm going to receive. I'm going to take it. I may not like it. It may be like the old-fashioned castor oil. Now, most in this room never have had castor oil. Because most of you are young. But the older generation in this room, and some of them shaking their heads already, have had a good old-fashioned dose of castor oil. And I'm going to tell you something. It's nasty. It's nasty. They ought to call it motor oil is what they ought to call it. It's as thick as motor oil, isn't it? In fact, it's thicker than some motor oils. Honestly. Nasty. But it was good for what ails you. And you know what we did? We took it. We swallowed it. We didn't enjoy it, but we took it. And you know what? That's what the person that gets something from Bible preaching has his mind made up to do. I may not enjoy it. It may make me feel. I remember one time, there's a family sitting here this morning, a man and his wife. And they visited, and when I went to see them, what brought you to Faith Baptist Church? Well, I forget even what they said, why they came here. They drove by, or whatever. There's all kind of reasons given, you know. And I said, you're visiting, and do you have any questions? I'm not going to camp out on your doorstep. I'm not going to be knocking on your door every week to try to get you to become a member. I'm here to answer your questions. Do you have any questions? Well, they had a couple of questions. And I remember the man saying, he said, Pastor, the preaching makes me uncomfortable. And I thought, well. And then he said, but that's what I need. That's what I need. If it makes you uncomfortable, friend, there's purpose for that. God knows everything. I don't know everything. I know very little. Very little. People always think the preacher knows more, knows it all. Sometimes we're the last ones to find out. Did you know this is going on? Well, no. Everybody knows. Oh, really? Left out of the loop. And I don't mind. It's okay. I'm not Barney Fife running around with a magnifying glass and a bullet in my pocket, you know. I don't like that. But listen to me. God knows everything. If there's something in a message, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school lesson, if there's something in a message that really gets down in you and just kind of, are you predisposed to receive it? I don't like it. Ask if you like it. Are you predisposed to receive it? That's noble character toward Bible preaching. Plan ahead to give it a fair hearing. I want to tell you what. I'm going to tell you something else that'll keep you from profiting from the Bible. Plan ahead to give it a fair hearing. But listen to this. Some people are predisposed for failure because they have aught against the one who's standing behind the desk. You get something in your heart against the man preaching, if it's me or a guest speaker that we bring in here, like it or not, he is the pipeline from God to you for that particular sermon. And when you get all in your heart against the guy doing the preaching, you know what you see and hear? All you see and hear is that conflict. That's why you used to say amen and you don't anymore. Your lips have been sealed for weeks. Huh? Look, you can't have all, I mean, have a guest speaker in here. Oh man, he's having him preach again. I tell you what, that guy, man, you just put a wall up. You put a barrier. I'm God's child. I can get something from God on my own. In this meeting right here, the man behind this desk is the pipeline from God to you. If that's not the case, what are we doing this for? This is a waste of time. No. You get aught against the guy who's standing behind the desk. You've sealed your fate as far as that message goes. That's why my father-in-law, when I came here 16 years ago, I said to Brother John, I said, hey, I'm going to be pastoring laymen now, not just the assistant pastor leading the bus ministry and youth ministry. I'm going to have oversight of the whole thing. What is something good for the layman? He said, I'll tell you what. He didn't hesitate. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, the thing I've worked the hardest at all these years at Marion Avenue is not to let anything get in the pipeline between me and Brother Brown. And he said that to me. He said, because when I go to church to sit in the pew, he said, Pastor Brown is the pipeline from God to me for that Bible message. I don't want to miss it. I want to get it. Amen. You can't have aught in your heart against the one who's doing the preaching. Now look, noble character comes to Bible preaching with a mind made up in advance to give a fair hearing to this thing. I'm going to receive it. I want something. I've not got aught against the man doing the preaching. This is what I'm here for. Now, anything less than that is less than noble character. When you come to a preaching service, my friend, come with noble character. Come with your mind predisposed. I'm going to get something from God's Word. You say, well, what if I have aught against the pastor? He's got a phone. He's got an office. A fella called me. I was in the office Saturday afternoon, two Saturdays ago, late in the afternoon. And had some meetings to attend to with Brother Jason and Brother Caleb before prayer meeting. And I was here early and the phone rang. And it was a man from another church within a 50-mile radius of where I'm standing right now. Brother Angel, do you have time to talk to me? Does your pastor know you've called me? No, he doesn't. Does your pastor know there's a problem? Well, I said, Brother, I can't meet with you. You go to another church. He said, well, just answer me this, Brother Angel. What if I show up in your service? Will you take me and my family in your church and in your my kids in your school? I said, Brother, if you show up in my church Monday morning, I'm going to be dialing your pastor's phone number, telling him you're here. He said, but you don't understand. There's some problems. I said, go see him. Sit down with him. Talk to him. In fact, do what a good man at Faith Baptist Church did some years ago. Send him a letter saying, here are some things that concern me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. and say, at your convenience, like this man in our church said, call me. I'd like to discuss these things with you. I remember getting that letter and thinking, man, this is a blessing. This guy would write me in advance and tell me the things that he's concerned about. It gave me time to think and ponder and say, you know what? He's right. I can't do anything about this thing because this is what we are as a church. I can't change this, but I can change this. Hey, brother, when can you come? I can be there tomorrow morning. Okay, let's get together. Shake hands. He's still here this morning. We're fine friends, everything. There's a way to be a man about things. I talked to that pastor on the phone. I said, did so-and-so come to see you? He said, yes. He said, how was it? He said, so spirit-filled, so tender. He said, I wept, he wept, we wept together. We shook hands, we hugged, everything's fine. And he said, well, pastor, what if I show up in your church? Oh, I'll be glad to help you. Yes, come on over, bring your family, I can help. You know what that is? That's pride. That's saying I can handle something another pastor can't. You know what else that is? That's unethical. Look, predisposed mind, predisposed heart comes to church every service. My mind is made up. I'm here to get a blessing. Feed me. Teach me. Give me something. Preach to me. Make me comfortable or uncomfortable. I don't care. I just want something from this book. Because without this book, I don't flourish. With this book, I thrive. Give me something from that Bible to take home today. That's a predisposed mind. That's how they got it in Berea. Readiness of mind. That's how they got it in Berea. Well, I preached too long on that. Let me give you the second thing, and I'll be done. When you hear something different, don't make a decision about it until you check it out. What was the second thing they did? They searched the Scriptures daily. They heard something different. And they ran to their Bibles and they went, you know what? This and this and this and this. This and this and this and this and this. And what Bible, what part of the Bible did they run to? They ran to the Old Testament. Well, Jesus took all the Old Testament and did away with it when He died. Oh my goodness. Surely you don't believe that. The Old Testament reinforces what the New Testament says. No, they search the Scriptures daily. Look, some of you get saved out of backgrounds where you weren't in church at all growing up. Some of you get saved out of backgrounds where you were part of a denominational church, a church that was liberal, a church that had no stand for the Word of God. And let me tell you something. When you come here, you're going to hear things you've never heard before. So before you leave mad and say, oh, bless God, I'll tell you what, put a lid on your emotion, go home, sit down with your Bible, a good concordance, and say, let me see if what he said is in this book. If it's not, then you can just say, you know, Brother Angel, or so, whoever else, Brother whoever, whoever's free. You know, I didn't get that the other day. What? Or you know what, I'll wait till he addresses that subject again and I'll listen more carefully and I'll listen to what he has to say about that subject. You're going to hear things, say, that you've never heard before. Search the Scriptures. I'll tell you what else is going to happen. Your co-workers, your neighbors, and sometimes even your relatives are going to go, what? You're going there? You're crazy. They're wild. They're nuts. Amen. I'm glad we're still hated in some places. I'm glad there's still people that don't like us. I personally won a man to Christ, baptized him and his wife here. I mean, personally went to his house and took time to show him from the Scriptures how to be saved. And he really got in the church for a few weeks, really enjoyed it. But he was working with some fellows. What? You go there? You go there? Oh, they're radical. They're wild. They're nuts. Let me ask you a question. Why did none of them ever sit down and show him how to be saved? Well, these so-called good friends who are so concerned that he'd be in the right place, where were they when he needed to be saved? You hear something, you hear something preached here, and you go to work, and you, what is it? What? Man, that guy's crazy. He's nuts. Well, we're never going back. Aren't you going back? Well, they said y'all are crazy. Y'all are nuts. Have you searched the Scriptures? Have you looked in the Bible? Huh? You might be surprised what's in this book if you took a look. Hey, I got to quit. Yesterday, Ray and I had... I didn't see Tasha this morning. I'm sorry? In the nursery. Tasha brought a friend, old friend day. Lady raised her hand. She didn't know that she was going to heaven. She wouldn't come forward. I went by with Ray. We talked to the husband. Caleb went by, talked to the husband. He's not saved. He's kind. He's friendly. But he's not saved, not interested. That was back in May. Two Saturdays ago, we caught her. And I called her name and said, look, you raised your hand that you weren't sure you were going to heaven. Can I show you how to be saved? I don't have time. We're getting ready to leave. I said, how about next week? Are you home during the day? No, I'm not. I said, how about at night? Where we got this? I said, how about next Saturday? Noonish. She said, I'll be here. So we went by yesterday by 11:40. And we sat down on the couch. We showed that woman, probably took 40 minutes, 30 minutes, to show her how to be saved. Going through all the New Testament Scriptures. I start in John 3, and I end up in John chapter 1. I go all through Romans, Revelation, back to John chapter 1. Start with born again, end up with being born again. Great big circle. And asked her, don't you want to be saved? Yes, I do. Or you want to give your heart to Christ today? Yes, I do. Get ahead of myself. I said, do you know what born again means when I started? She said, well, I think you have your definition and I have mine. I said, let's see what the Bible says. Instead of me or you, let's see what the Bible says. So I showed her what it means to be born again. I said, now what is your definition of being born again? She said, you got to repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost, and speak in tongues. And then you're born again. I said, what did the Bible say? The Bible said, trust Christ. I said, you ready to do that? Yes. We bowed. She prayed. After she prayed, I said, did you mean that? You're sincere. That dear woman, her eyes filled up with tears. Choked back the tears. She shook her head. Yes. She said, yes. And as we were finishing up, listen to what she said. She said, I can't believe for all these years I've been trying to do that other stuff when in reality it's simply trusting Christ. And what made the difference for her? She saw what the Bible said. Did you know Phil Jackson, for the coach of the Chicago Bulls, in his book, Sacred Hoops, did you know his mother's a Pentecostal minister? His dad was a Baptist. They grew up in Montana. Phil Jackson said he used to go to the Pentecostal church. And they told him that when you get saved, you speak in tongues. And then you're saved. Phil Jackson wrote in his book, he used to go to the altar and try to speak in tongues. And try to speak in tongues. And try to speak in tongues. And I could never do it. So I just decided salvation is not for me. He's a Zen Buddhist today. I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a lot of preachers in hot water with God someday. Because they led people to believe things and tried to make people fit into things that are not in this book. But tell you what's in this book about your eternal destiny. You're a sinner, and if you die without Christ, you're going to spend eternity in hell forever. Now, I didn't say that, God did. There's no reason for you to go there. No reason. He sent His Son to pay the penalty for your sin. He died, was buried, and rose again for your sin. And you must confess that you are a sinner and turn from everything and everybody else and put your faith only in Jesus Christ. Simply trust Christ. And if you'll do that, you'll be born into God's family. When you're born into God's family, you've got eternal life. And that's what that book says. That book says nothing about being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. It's right to get baptized after you get saved. But you don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized because you are saved. To get saved, you simply trust Christ. That's what that book says. If you've never done that, I beg you, man, please don't put it off any longer. Please. I'm afraid that lost people sit in this building every Sunday. They're just putting off a decision about Christ. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. This is the time. This is the place and the day. Trust Christ. Trust Him. Trust Him. Noble in character toward preaching. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate it. Before we pray and I close, let me ask a question here today. Who's here would say, Pastor Angel, I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please? Please be honest. Don't lie to God. Don't lie. Don't just raise your hand because everybody else says you think. Thank you. Take your hands down. Who is here would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I do not know where I would spend eternity. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. Would you lift your hand, please? Wherever you're sitting, front to back, side to side, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that here this morning? Not sure that I'm a born-again child of God. Anybody like that here today? All right? Who would say, I've been saved but never baptized in deep water since I've been saved? And I follow the Lord and believer's baptism. And I need to do that. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand here this morning? All right, God bless you. If you're here to be baptized today, come forward right now while we wait. We'll get you ready. We have time to do that. Scott and Linda are ready to help you. God bless you. That's wonderful. Moving this way. If you know that you need to be baptized, you're a teenager, you haven't talked to Brother Caleb, Brother Jason, to talk to your parents, be sure and do that before you go home today or get word to them. So are you sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure that you're saved? If you don't know that you're saved, come and let somebody show you how to be saved and receive the Lord as your Savior. All right. Now let me ask this question. Who's here? Pastor, pray for me. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart about having a noble mind, a noble attitude, nobility towards preaching. I don't want to despise it. They warned us not to despise it. God said don't despise it. So I don't want to despise it. I want to have a noble spirit like the Bereans did. And there's something you said this morning that spoke to my heart. Would you lift a hand, please, this morning, all over the room? There's a lot of hands up. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. If you've been visiting, you know this is the place that God wants you to join. You've talked to myself and Brother Caleb about it. This is your opportunity as God leads. Our Father in heaven, tried to preach your word this morning in all sincerity and honesty. I ask, dear Lord, that you'll take it, take what feeble attempt I made and bless it to the hearts of all the listeners this morning. Thank you for these that have come to follow you in believers' baptism. Thank you, dear God, for Jesus who died on the cross and gave his life so that we might be saved. And if there's one here today who, Lord, is not saved, maybe they think they can't be saved. That's wrong, Lord. It's not that they can't be. It's that they won't be. And I pray that you'll give them the willingness to come trust Christ this morning. I pray for each hand that went up about being noble toward preaching. God, help us, please, to be of that predisposed, ready mind every time the Word of God is preached. And I'll thank you for it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please, as we stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? You lifted a hand. You lifted a hand. Nobility towards preaching. Would you come this morning? Kneel here this morning. Would you come? Predisposed mind, an open chance, an open heart, predisposed to reception, not rejection. Would you come find a place at the altar in prayer this morning as the Lord speaks to your heart? Would you come while we pray?